Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Welcome, everyone, to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. I'm Brent Smith, alongside my very good friend, Shane Stetsny. And man, oh man, we are just days away from the final rounds here at Amsoil Championship Off-Road, presented by Brunt. And man, Shane, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. The hype has been building. I know that early returns on our ticket pre-sales were probably even better than we expected. So I'm expecting a big crowd out there. It's going to be very high energy. Racing under the lights is awesome. Every time, doesn't matter where we go that we race under the lights, it's always the coolest thing. Plus Pro Points Championships on the line. I mean, a lot riding on this one weekend out on the West Coast.
It's our first time back out west, well, at least for me, and watching short course at its finest. Now we're bringing Amsoil Championship off-road, and they're ready to rock and roll. I've talked to some of my friends and family out there. They're going to come out there for the first time and just enjoy what we call the best sport in the world. And man, the temperatures are looking great, and the racing is heating up as we're ending the season.
Yeah, and speaking of, I guess, the hottest news of all so far that just dropped on Monday, a few hours before we hit record on this podcast, how about Ken Roczen making his short course off-road debut racing Pro 2? I mean, I think a lot of our listeners, a lot of our fans should know that name. He's a two-time AMA motocross champion, 23 supercross wins, 21 outdoor wins, you know, one of the elite stars of motocross and supercross over the last decade plus, jumping into a Pro 2 for Ryan Beat Motorsports. That's going to be cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that just makes the excitement that much more for the final rounds. And Kenny Roczen, it's my twin brother's favorite rider for many, many years. He is just great behind a motocross bike. And he's going back to Glen Helen, a proven winner on a bike. But I can guarantee you, he's going to adapt well. We look at Ricky Johnson, Johnny Greaves, CJ Greaves, and a host of other guys that have raced motocross in the backgrounds of their lives. And what they have done is just progress. I think he's going to do big things. And man, I can't wait to see him get some seat time.
Yeah, I was kind of surfing through comments on a few different social media posts about it. And actually clicked over to the post that Ken himself posted on his own page on Facebook. And man, his fans excited to see him try something a little bit different.
Yeah, and I believe he's going to bring his favorite fans from the Supercross and Motocross days. I mean, it's in Southern California. The weather's going to be great. The people are there. Yeah, we're drawing attention in the right way, though, Shane. It's so great to have it back out on the West Coast. After going from Crandon, you see King Kincaid and all the Midwest guys traveling out 26-plus hours. I mean, you not only have to have the mindset, but you have to have all your bearings in a line to just do good after a long week of travel.
Yeah, it's been, you know, we talked about it on the last episode, like Chris Vanden Elsen and his wife headed out there early, kind of made a road trip out of it. I saw that Nick Visser is actually buddied up with Gavin Plummer, his competitor in Pro Spec. Nick was riding out with Gavin's dad, Bernie, on the way out there. So any way you can make it out there, people are making it out there to Glen Helen.
Oh, yeah, you have to do what you can do, right? I mean, you might have a big 50-foot stacker trailer at home. You button down and get a 24-foot enclosed and make it happen, right? You try to save on costs. We all know it's expensive to run in this sport, and yet we're going across country. But I think the benefit of doing it is just going to be over the top, not only for your team, marketing purposes. The best in the business are out west as well, so we want to give those guys some love.
Well, like I said, this is the finale weekend for the pros. We talked on the last episode about most of the Sportsman Points champions. Well, all the seven pro classes have their championships to be decided this weekend. Some of those, one in fact, completely decided, and then a couple are mostly decided. Obviously, Pro Stock side by side, the concrete's dry. Owen Van Eppern is the champion of that one. Pro 4 and Pro Light basically decided, as long as CJ Greaves and Johnny Holcher, respectively, don't get confused on what weekend it is or what time the racing starts and they actually show up, they'll be the champions. I've got faith in both of those guys to come through on that one. And then in Amsoil Pro side-by-side, Owen Van Eppern needs to find a way to score 75 points. That'll be plenty for him no matter what happens with Jeb Boodle. That'll be enough for Owen to lock up the championship. The math on that basically means 7th one day, 6th the other day. That's plenty. Certainly, the season he's had, I'd expect him to do a little bit better than that.
Yeah, I believe he's going to go out there for blood, right? He just has to have some decent finishes, but there's no holes barred for that team. Him and Ronnie Van Eppern just lay it all out. It's so cool to see him dominate that long in our sport in this whole 2025 season. So I think he's just going to go out for some wins. I mean, it's weird to see you put down seventh and a sixth, right? Just to give him an average at what he could finish. I mean, I feel he's always in the top five before we're a couple laps in it.
Well, we can ask the man himself. Stay tuned, folks, because he's going to be on this very episode a little bit later on. Pro 2, kind of the same story for Pro 2 as in AMSOIL Pro side-by-side. Keegan Kincaid, the leader, he needs to just find 71 points. That's basically an eighth place and a seventh place. I think there will be 11 trucks. So Keegan, again, he's been in this spot before, and he knows how to do just enough without overextending himself. What it comes down to for Ryan Beat, who's second in the points, he needs if he sweeps the weekend and finds 6 bonus points, so top qualifier maybe one of the days, and then leads at halfway, that would be 7 total points. And Keegan finishes last both days, that would be enough for Ryan Beat, so still in it, but that's a pretty long shot. That's tall odds.
Yeah, and you don't want to wish bad luck on anyone or their team and what Keegan's done over.
Right. Right, and you add in a wild card, Ken Roczen, who's, you know, just out there for the weekend. You add in Ronnie Anderson, another guy who's just out there to try to collect wins. And a lot of different ways Pro 2 could go. And there's one more driver in Pro 2 we'll talk about a little bit later on. But, you know, it's not, even though Keegan has that big lead and it looks like a big mountain to climb for Rowdy Beat, it's not impossible. And we've already seen, and I hate to even risk the announcer's curse, but we've seen things go badly for those guys at different times this year. I'll say that much.
Oh, yeah. Anything can happen, right? We look at Bark River. We look at Ryan Beat. He never stops trying. He's always innovating new trucks, new parts, as well as Keegan Kincaid. So let the best guy win. And I believe it's a long, long season, which we all know. They're going to lay it all out on the line. They want to show everyone who's the best in the world, no matter if it's the end of the year points championship, Shane, or it's just the last two races. If you can go out there and sweep the weekend and show you're the baddest ass Pro 2 driver in the world, hey, that's where you want to do it.
Well, those so far, they've all been pretty clear what the points picture looks like. How about this one? It's about as clear as a cup of black coffee. Pro Buggy, there's 3 drivers that still have a pretty good shot at it. We talked a little bit about it on the last episode, but the Big Tuna, Chaden Minder, 28 points ahead of Jordan Bernlord and 31 points ahead of Billy Booth. Minder does have an outside chance at clinching on Friday night after round 14. If he's top qualifier and wins and picks up some bonus points, and then Jordan Bernlohr and Billy Booth basically have to finish like last and second to last would be the only way that would happen. Over the course of the 2 rounds, if Minder, essentially not counting any bonus points, Minder 4th place finish both days would be plenty for him to get it done. Jordan Bernlohr, if he wants a shot at it, he needs to finish about 7 spots ahead of Minder both days. That's not factoring in any kind of bonus points. Billy Booth, to make up his deficit, would need to finish about 8 spots better than Chaden Minder both days. So, again, what it comes down to is those 2 drivers are going to go out there and search the desert for a 4-leaf clover and hope that Chaden Minder has something go badly wrong. Clear as mud, like I said.
Man, I mean, you said it's a dark cup of coffee, and that just lays it all out right in front of us. And it's going to be tough, right? Whoever can have the best weekend is going to move to that top spot. I think Minder is going to go for broke, don't get me wrong, but there's going to be certain points in that race or races that he might have to not take a chance there. If their door opens a little bit and he's running third, he knows those are valuable points to lock up that championship. But guys like Billy Booth, man, he's traveling a long, long way, and he's going to try to get the job done as well as the Bernlohrs.
Yeah, I think especially Jordan Bernlohr, Billy Booth, like you said, they're going to lay it all on the line. I mean,
oh yeah,
you got the offseason to collect yourself and unwrinkle your race car, so you have to go for it, right? This close and still in striking distance, you got to go for it.
Yeah, there's no waiting around. This is the final round of our season, the final rounds in. Man, like I said, it's going to be on Flow. It's going to be on national TV later and tape delayed, and you're not going to want to miss it. I mean, I'm excited. It's going to be just a war in any division we look out there for, because it's a different track. It's a different facility. We're under the lights, you know, and I know well. I mean, it makes the different checkup points and where the track develops. Oh, I mean, you rely on your spotter. I mean, it's a different ball game. I'm excited.
I think we covered all the pro classes. Was there any, did we miss one? Oh yeah. Pro spec. Oh, how about yeah. 1 point margin, Chris Vandenels and Wyatt Miller. We talked about this on the last show, but it comes down to those two guys, you know, may the best driver win. The better weekend between those two, that's going to be your champion. Every single point is going to count qualifying, any halfway bonus points. The way I was thinking about this is, and we saw this in a couple sportsman classes, even Pro-Am side-by-side, the tentative result in that class could change in the final round. I mean, from one lap to the next, depending on who makes a move, it could flip-flop. This could literally come down to the last lap, the last couple corners of the race.
Yeah, and you talk about being nervous. I mean, just broadcasting, it's going to get interesting, but I can't imagine Wyatt Miller and Chris Vandenels and hoping that they can just duke it out amongst themselves, right? We have a host of great talent in that class, so not let alone trying to win the race, you're going to try to stay out of damage. You're going to try to stay out of carnage. And I'm telling you, that calamity corner in every round is going to be tough for each one of those drivers, because whoever can put their game face on the earliest in the weekend, I think, is going to get the job done, right? I mean, they both can handle pressure. They understand, focus on what's in front of you and take one day at a time. And I think we're going to see great racing right up until the end. I really do.
Yeah, I think every class, every pro class is going to be great out at Glen Helen. But I think pro spec, just the drama that's infused into that, that's going to be just worth the ticket price right there.
Oh, yeah. And the class keeps growing and growing each and every weekend we go to. So I'm expecting it to be some kind of showdown, if not one of the best races, if not the best race of the weekend. I'm excited for it.
Well, as always, listeners, this podcast is brought to you by AMSOIL. If you love power and performance and saving money, you could become an AMSOIL preferred customer and save up to 25% on AMSOIL products and receive free shipping, exclusive promos, and more. Visit AMSOIL.com and sign up today.
Well, our next guest on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSOIL is Owen Van Epren. I know you've been really busy, Owen. How are things going?
Yeah, pretty good. Just thanks for having me on. Just out here getting ready for Glen Helen.
Hey, so this is cool. This is the first time that in the 5 years of Brent and I doing this podcast, we've gotten to talk to a points champion before the season was done. You are the Pro Stock points champion. Dominant season so far, 9 wins, plus the world championship in a non-points race. But I want to know, you, obviously, a lot of that is, you know, the work in the garage, the work in the pits, your huge team, all the people that support you. But how much has to go right for you to have a season that's that strong in such a stacked class?
Yeah, it's for sure been an amazing season for me, really a dream of mine. And, you know, a lot of it's luck, but I also say you create your own luck, you know. And CJ's, he's been good at doing that for the last, 5 years or whatever I've been racing him. And he's had good luck. He also creates his luck, puts himself in good positions. And I knew I had to take another step this year. So we worked our butts off this whole offseason. John Fitzgerald built one of the most sick cars that's ever been built out of a UTV for short course racing. And it really showed. But yeah, just I tried taking myself to another level. And everyone around me took themselves to another level. And we just put it all together. And yeah, like I said, you need some luck. But everything just worked out in our favor this year.
I think at one point you rattled off like 6 straight wins in pro stock. Just a couple of days ago, I was watching a video where a former Major League Baseball pitcher was talking about just like when he would be warming up for a game, he knew like that day he had great stuff. He knew he was going to just be awesome. Do you ever have days like that where you're getting ready to go out for first session of the day and you just feel like, man, practice was awesome, qualifying was awesome, like I know I'm going to be tough to beat today?
Yeah, you know, it's almost like once you get the feeling of winning, you kind of expect yourself to be there race in and race out. So I'd say every race when you go to the starting line, you just have that feeling that, you know, you're going to win. And you need that confidence in racing. And it's not cockiness or everything. I think everyone that has a real possibility to win going to the starting line thinks they're going to win, you know. That's just been a major difference for me. And once you get that confidence, it's hard to get it away from you, from what I've noticed this year. And that's just what's been working for me.
And like Owen, your confidence you talk about, I mean, I know that's huge in anything you do or everyday life. But at the same time, I mean, you said that you prepared differently coming into this season. I mean, take us through some of the things that you did differently than the past now that you're going into the future.
I mean, we only built one new car this year. So in the past, we've built one Pro Stock and two turbos. And that in itself is it's a lot for us to handle. And you don't really get the time to spend developing. You just more spend the time building, which can lead you in past years, I'd say, stuff being just kind of done the cookie cutter way, you know, where this year it was, we only built one car. So that one car we built being our Pro Stock, we put our heart and soul into the build of that one and making it as professional, clean and well working as we possibly could. And then for our turbos, we use the same cars as last year. So a lot of the off season was spent on developing performance parts and stuff for them. So that was a major difference, was just building, you know, one car and having more time to spend on more important stuff, I'd say. But they go hand in hand, you know, and with building new cars, obviously fresh parts every year and stuff. So we kind of had to keep a little more up on the maintenance, I'd say, this year on the turbos, just because they're not as fresh, but sure, definitely helped us in other aspects. So
talking a little bit more about pro side by side, you're in line to win that championship too, which is a great season. I did the math. I think you need like a seventh and a sixth this weekend in Glen Helen to lock that one up. That's not counting any possible bonus points that anybody else could get. You know, knowing that you just have to have like an all right weekend, does that change your approach in that car coming into this weekend at all?
I think qualifying points are going to be massive for me, and that's what I've been kind of focusing on a lot recently once I've gotten this comfortable spot in the points, is if I can get the qualifying points, it maybe takes some pressure off necessarily winning in the race. So I think for me coming into this Friday race, I'm going to see how I qualify, see where I start is going to be a big deal, and then mainly see how the first lap plays out. If I can get out front and make some moves and put myself in a good spot, that'll help, and just see where I'm at the end of Friday.
I mean, coming into this weekend, though, I mean, is there any different strategies you're taking going into the final weekends? I mean, are you out just for wins, or are you going to just lay back when you need to if you have to?
It's kind of a hard to answer, I guess. We'll see what spot I get put in. But if I have an opportunity to win, I'm definitely going to take it. But I guess no unnecessary risk, we'll say, for this weekend.
Do you believe in points racing, or do you believe in like a good points day? Or is that, because a lot of times I hear drivers say like, yeah, today was a good points day, but it sounds like they're disappointed and trying to find a silver lining from a day that they didn't think was a great day. Do you believe in points days?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends what position you're in. If you have a solid lead like me, there's definitely a such thing as that. If you're, you know, neck and neck or tied, there's no such thing. You just want to go win. But you also can take whatever's given you at the time and not get too greedy for stuff that'll really put you out of a points championship. So it all depends on what situation and spot you're in, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, you definitely can't plan anything, right? You know as well as anyone else. Yeah. I mean, you got to let all the cards lay out on the table. And I mean, you've been confident all year, and I think that confidence going to, and I know that confidence going to bring you to the top no matter what. And it's been fun to watch, and I know Shane and I talk about you nonstop, and it's crazy to see at such a young age. You're just one of the best so far, and I can't wait to see what you do in the future.
For sure. Thanks. I'm excited for the future too. Just see where it brings us, and hopefully it's in the same direction as we're trending.
So I want to talk about more broadly, I guess, your relationship with off-road racing. So you started in motocross as a kid, I'm assuming, based on who your dad is, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I know that you were in short course kart. You won a couple of championships there, went through mod kart. You were super competitive there, jumped into the side-by-side classes, and here you are. You're 18 years old. Your career didn't start that long ago, but looking back on, you know, racing as a much younger kid compared to now, do you think your relationship with the sport has changed? And is it still as fun on a very pure level as it was back then?
Yeah, it's come a long way with me starting. At I think 8 years old was when I first raced a short course car. Wow. But it's just watching it progress throughout the years, obviously with my dad and everyone involved, from the highs of the sports to the low of the sport, and where it's at now is super cool. And just, yeah, watching myself progress with everything throughout the years has been a super fun experience. And
it's crazy how we watch you as a kid just getting in it for fun, and now you're treating this like a business, right? It is what you guys do, and that's got to make your level and your approach way, way different than when you were 8, 9 years old.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's It's still for fun though at the end of the day. If you're not having fun doing it, there's not really a sense to be doing it. It's kind of like if you're showing up to your job every day pretty mad, I don't think you'd still be there. But no, we're having fun and just enjoying it, taking it day by day, and whatever happens, happens. Try not to put too much pressure on it and just go with the flow.
Is it tough to keep that perspective though, that, even though, you show up to the racetrack, you technically are punching in for work. Is it hard to keep the perspective like, oh yeah, this is actually something that's, at its base level, like extremely fun to do?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not if I have a bad race, I'm not coming off the track stoked. So you gotta find a balancing act though of everything and just keep a level head and just accept when it's not quite going your way. That's what I've had to deal with a little bit over the last couple of years, and luckily this way it's been pretty much rock solid so far. So it comes and goes, and that's just gonna happen with everyone and everything you do.
Yeah, and you really got to take the good with the bad, right? I mean, you can't do nothing about a bad day other than just go out the next time and forget about it.
It's
And
a little bit easier though, Brent, when
right.
the season looks like Owens has.
Oh yeah, I get it, but he's just dominating.
Assuming you do lock up this pro side-by-side championship to go along with the one that you've already got in pro stock, like what's the next goal? Do you have to have something that's next to work for to keep yourself driving forward?
It's still only my first championships and champs, so I gotta look at it that way too. And I did accomplish a lot this year, but it's still not as much as some of the people I race against, like CJ and stuff. So I hope someday I can be alongside him and his 200 wins or wherever he's at now. But we'll just keep working, and I don't really, I guess my goals are always just gonna be whatever I race to win in that. So we'll see where that leads us.
I think it's interesting that you've brought up CJ a couple times. I think fans see a lot of parallels between you two. Your sons of racers, both came from motocross. You got started younger than CJ did in short course, but you've both now won championships, before you were done being a teenager. First of all, I guess, how do you feel about being compared to him in that way?
Yeah, it's definitely cool with all the accomplishments he has, and yeah, we've grown up with each other pretty much our whole life. My dad and Johnny were best friends, and then me and CJ knew each other for a while, so it's super sick getting compared to him and stuff. But I hope someday we take a step above him in terms of wins and GOAT status or whatever. But got a little bit left to do before that.
Does it really like add any more pressure to your career goals when everyone compares, like, or not everyone, but the people that compare you to CJ? I mean, does that take anything away or does that give you more drive?
Yeah, I'm not really. I don't really take any account into that. I do me. This year it's been a little bit better than him, so that's just, as long as I'm myself and people can compare me to him or what, it's not going to change what I think or what I do.
I was cruising your Instagram. I found a picture from 2016, which is 9 years ago now, almost
Yeah.
9 years to the day, oddly enough. A picture of a very young you and a much younger CJ, and the caption said you were trying to follow in his footsteps. So it's kind of interesting that you're still echoing that same idea now. But what's your relationship like with him now that you're racing against him? Like I'm thinking about Bark River. He finally got the better of you one of those races and then kind of celebrated at you. Like how big is the rivalry when you're actually on the track and how healthy is the relationship otherwise?
It's up and down, I'd say. It's
Sure.
some races we enjoyed talking to him, and some races not so much. But yeah, that little celebration, I'm kind of disappointed he didn't get on the podium at Crandon, say the least. But he likes to do a lot of stuff like that. But hopefully, yeah, Glen Helen here, maybe there's another opportunity.
I mean, you can keep this in your pocket, but you can always just lean into CJ and give him a quick scoreboard point to
Yeah.
the point standings, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can always do that. But no, hopefully. Yeah, we'll see. I guess time will tell where this relationship really goes.
Well, Owen, let's talk about this final weekend coming in. I mean,
Yeah.
I know you've been out there. You've got to try out the new track and the new layout. I mean, tell us a little bit about what's going on out there and how you feel about the layout.
Yeah, well, first off, Glen Helen's kind of been a dream of mine to always go to, just because the motocross background, obviously starting in motocross
So
and that
cool.
being a big part of my life. So it's always been a dream of mine to come here and just even check out the facility, let alone racing it. So the track's pretty sick. It's definitely tight, like a bull ring, kind of like an Antigo or a Lena, but it's definitely like an out west style track with the jumps and the rhythm and stuff. So should be sick. Hopefully we can get out front, stay away from carnage, because I'll be surprised there's quite a bit of carnage in the back and stuff. So to stay free of that, and hopefully run some good clean laps like we've been doing all year, and can bring home another couple wins and wrap this championship up. But yeah, it should be good racing for the fans with tight and packed in front of the crowd and stuff.
I don't want to sidetrack this too much, but I want to thank you for what you just said, because in my notes, I said based on what I've seen of Glen Helen, it looks like Antigo, but with bigger jumps. So you've seen it up close, and I just have seen videos of it. So I was right. Score one for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good comparison there, so.
Do you think there'll be some great flow going on? I mean, once you get in the rhythm, do you think it'll race well? Or, I mean, do you think, like you said, there'll be a lot of carnage?
Yeah, no, it should race well. I mean, it didn't seem like the track where you could just hug the inside, you know. It was way too hard for me to
Good.
get down there and stuff. So it should open up lines, and then like even the rhythm, for side by sides at least, you're gonna have to open that corner up before to really get a good run through there, which should open up multiple lines of people diving down the inside and stuff. So
Yeah.
it should be good. I'm excited for it, and yeah, I think it'll be one of the better racing tracks that we could possibly have all year. So, but I guess we'll never know until it races, but we'll see.
It was cool and to see the front of your car dancing off the rhythm section, like just barely creeping over the face of it. So it's definitely challenging to get that drive out.
Yeah, for sure.
You brought up obviously Glen Helen is an iconic outdoor motocross track. News dropped today, just a few hours ago, that Ken Roczen's jumping into Pro 2. Are you excited to get to watch one of the legends of Supercross and motocross try his hand at off-road?
Yeah, for sure. It'll be cool to see how he does and stuff. I'm not sure. I'd imagine he's gotten time in the car and stuff, but no, it's exciting to see what he does. Always cool to see new big names come into the sport. So hopefully I hope for him he puts on a good show for himself and enjoys it, and we see him back here, but we'll see.
This is the finale weekend. You're trying to cap off what's already been a fantastic year, but what's next? What comes after the finale for Champ Off Road? Are you going to try to go race elsewhere maybe a little bit? Or, at what point do you find some time to kind of unplug from racing for a while? Or do you unplug from racing, I guess is a good question.
Yeah, after Glen Helen, I'll definitely take some time off and hang out with friends, enjoy the time, and get away from it for a bit, and then I guess start planning for next year, whatever that means for me and stuff. But yeah, I'm sure we'll start working on the off season not too long after Glen Helen, and see what direction we go there.
So you got any big plans for the off season other than the racing thing? I mean, you got anything set up for maybe a vacation or?
Or just boring real life
Right.
stuff?
Nothing really set up right now. I'm sure I'll find some places to go and stuff with my friends and stuff, but yeah, we'll see what I'll find my way around to a couple of vacations
There you
this
go.
winter, but nothing yet, so.
Well, you've earned it.
Well, hey Owen, we appreciate you taking some time with us. Best of luck to you this weekend in the final rounds at Glen Helen. We'll see you out there in pro stock and pro side by side, and hopefully you can get the chance to gloat over your rival CJ a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, hopefully we wrap this one up.
And with that, Brent, we set up kind of who's all battling for points championships and who wants to etch their names in the history books on that side of things. But I want to talk about a few drivers I was thinking about that kind of have been on the rise a little bit, or this is kind of their last chance for 2025 to make a statement that maybe they're more than what we've seen so far. So I'm going to run some names by you here. First up, your thoughts on maybe Trey Gibbs sneaking in his first Pro 2 podium this weekend. He had a kind of a wild Crandon on that Sunday race, the World Championships for the Pro 2. Ended up with Kyle Greaves parked literally on his roof in turn one. Gibbs' best finish so far, a fourth in Dirt City in round eight. How do you like his chances of finishing top three and getting another career best finish in Pro 2 this weekend in Glen Helen?
I think the cards are in his favor because he's just putting in that effort. He doesn't stop, right? There's been many a times this summer where I'm just like, that poor dude, He's got everything going for him. He's just had some bad luck. Bark River thought he had some engine issues, had a radiator cap problem. I mean, got that all figured up. And I'm telling you, it's just what you do in the background. He's always prepping those cars himself, getting hands on, and parts failures, you can't do nothing about it. But I think he's going to bounce back. I mean, he was a rocket ship out there back when it was Lucas Oil in the off-road series he ran in Pro Light. I mean, he was dominant on those West Coast tracks. So I'm looking for him to be a big shooter, but at the same time, I think Jacob Rosal is, after having that run in the cup race at Crandon, he's one to watch as well. I mean,
oh, for sure.
He's got Mikey V behind him, really helping him out. Sean Morris wrenching on the truck. So proven winners helping proven drivers. I believe they're going in the right direction. And I think you're going to see some surprises as well.
Yeah, the Cuban Missile, Jacob Rosales, another guy I was thinking about earlier today when I was jotting down some notes, for sure. His, you know, you look at the trend of his season, and again, adjusting to a new-to-him truck, took him a little bit to kind of find his footing in Pro 2, and Pro 2's tough. I mean, you look at some of the names that consistently run up front in that one, not just Keegan and Ryan Beat, but Ricky G, Kyle Greaves. It's really tough to consistently run that pace with those guys, but like you said, Rosales, the second half of the season, even going back to ERX, I mean, starting to show up in that lead pack more and more. Definitely going in the right direction.
Right, and it's been a struggle for him, right? It's not even just him behind the wheel, just having bad luck. Even went out for Bark River in practice and hit one of the retaining walls, but Mikey got that truck all fixed up by a bunch of good work and worth ethic, trying to make the truck better as well as fixing it. So, I mean, like you said, they're in the right direction. I mean, Johnny Holger's always one to watch as well. He's very familiar to Out West and what the tracks develop like and what to expect. He's in that old dinosaur still, and he's still making it move forward. I mean, you said Ricky G. Yeah, he's one to watch. That's his own stomping grounds as well. So, I mean, we don't have enough room up on the podium, I believe, Shane, right, this next weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Speaking of podiums, another guy that I've kind of seen improve, and especially at Crandon World Championship weekend, this guy picked up his career best finish in Pro 4. He was fourth. Also ran well Sunday morning in the Pro 4 World Championship race. Talking about Robert Stout, do you think he's trending towards maybe a little home state magic and finding his first Pro 4 podium out there?
Well, it goes to show again, right? I mean, just trying to be at the right place at the right time. He's had so much bad luck. Right. I had a great opportunity to talk to his father, Ken Stout, as well as Robert himself, and you could just hear the frustration, right? Just, I'm not going to go into detail or anything, but just frustration on coming off of series and wins and knowing how to put a car where it needs to be put on the racetrack. He's a well put together race car driver. He knows how to drive. It's just to get the truck to adapt to him. And I believe he's on that run right now where he's going in the right direction. They're working on the suspension, working on that teamwork, and he's excited. He's got great partners behind him, Beneath Underwear. I mean, they are behind him 120%. He's always looking to better his program, and he's got the speed. I just think he has to have the luck on his side, maybe qualify in the top 2-3, Shane, and get into that invert and get to mix with the top dogs.
Well, that's two California guys that I think you and I agree that we expect to see do well in California, but, you know, we're Midwest guys. We got to stand up for our own, and I think one other driver that I was kind of singling out, I guess, is Ryan Schwabe in Pro Buggy. Another guy that, especially the second half of the season, Bark River, led some laps up there, ended up coming home with a third place finish, had another third place earlier in the year. And you and I actually talked about him. We were having a phone call a couple days ago and brought him up a little bit. You know, it's great to see the progress out of him. And again, that's a pretty small team. A lot of it comes down to him and his dad, one of the legends, Scott Schwabe, and kind of their family and friends and local help. And he's starting to establish himself as a guy that's regularly competing for podiums. And I was thinking about kind of the recipe, kind of what's in the batter of this Pro Buggy cake out in Glen Helen. Minder, maybe he decides to go points racing a little bit. We talked about he just needs to have a couple all right days. Burnlaw and Booth have to be super aggressive. It's going to be the complexion of those races is going to be a little bit different. And I think that recipe might give Ryan Schwabe a chance to run even closer to the front, maybe compete for a win out there.
Yeah, I mean, guys like Ryan Schwabe and the Burnlaws, they are very tough behind the wheel. But, I mean, just the longevity of the Schwabe team and what Scott Schwabe has done for the sport itself. To have Ryan be steady as he is behind the wheel and continue to make his program better and better. I mean, he's a big man, and he really knows how to put the loud pedal down.
I think across all of Champ Off-Road, Ryan's podium interviews are probably, and I think every time he gets on the podium, I kind of elbow you and like, hey man, you got to listen to this, because he's so excited, so much emotion behind what he does. We've seen that from a lot of drivers, obviously, but Ryan's like, I'll tip my hand here. He's like one of my top five favorite guys to see on the podium just for that reason.
Oh yeah. And I mean, like you said, he got brought up in our phone call the other day. We spent 5-10 minutes just talking about Ryan Schwabe because he's just there all the time. He's putting that effort in. He's very quick. He's a nice guy on and off the track.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Man, those podium speeches, like you said, they just keep you going, and you got to listen to him because, hey man, that Schwabe name's been around a long time, and I can't wait to watch him out in Glen Helen.
So that's a few drivers that I was thinking about who may be on the rise and headed for something a little bit bigger out in Glen Helen. How about one driver who I'm wondering if he can maybe turn around what's been a really tough second half of the season? Mickey Thomas, obviously it's his rookie year in Pro 4. Man, early on it looked like it was going to come to him a little bit easier than we thought. Was racing for a win against CJ Greaves and Anigo. And, you know, you and I kind of looked at each other like, oh man, he's here already. He's competing for wins early in his rookie year. Since then, it's just been, you know, one bad day after another. The last six rounds, he only has one podium this whole second half of the season so far. How do you like Mickey Thomas's chances to go out on a high note this year?
Oh, I really look forward to watching Mickey Thomas out west, because he's going to be one to watch, because he's not only been out there for multiple seasons, he's really comfy in that Pro 4. It's just about getting those ducks in a row. He had it going, like you said, in the beginning part of the year, Shane, but I'm looking for him to really put the foot down. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but I think it's more of a physical type of race out there, and I think he'll do well, right? He doesn't care if the fenders end up on the truck at the end of the day, and it's cool to see what he's doing in the sport. And when he committed to Pro 4, I didn't think he was going to jump onto it as quick. I knew he had the driving skills, but it's sure. always hard, right, just to jump into a Pro 4. And man, he's really proved us wrong.
Yeah, like I said, he immediately looked like he belonged and looked like he was going to compete for wins this year. And, you know, for whatever reason, second half of the year, it's like, you know, it's just been one thing after another. There was the race that he stalled before he took the green, couldn't get the truck fired at Dirt City, and it seems like the deck has been stacked against him for some reason.
Yeah, you know, I hope the cards change for him out west, because I mean, yeah, definitely the luck hasn't been on his side, and if he can bounce back, I look for big things out of him, because man, he knows how to drive that Pro 4. The truck is well put together, and man, it's the last race of the year. He wants to go and make his statement heading into 2026. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, all four of those drivers, I think, and hope and wish them all that they have a great weekend out at Glen Helen. And with that, it bums me out to report this, but I won't be at Glen Helen. I've had some big changes in my life. A lot of things up in the air right now for me. And it's not going to work for me to go to Glen Helen. You and I have talked about it, Brent. And fortunately, we got the best bullpen booth guy in the business, Nolan Castellian, is going to step in. He's going to be prepared. Nolan is smarter than me anyways and knows more about the sport than I do. Don't tell him I said that, but he's going to do a great job. And I'm still going to be giving you the points updates, you and Nolan, in real time. I'm just going to be doing that from Wisconsin.
Well, it bums me out, buddy, but I know you're always with us no matter where we're at in the country. And I know that the show is going to go great. We have to tune in throughout the weekend, and I hope everything goes good for you back at home. And man, like you said, Nolan won't miss a heartbeat. It's cool to have him
for
in
sure.
the bullpen. We got to work with him multiple times this year already, and Haley will be down trackside, and I'm sure she'll jump in the booth once in a while and say, hey, and man, we're going to miss you, and we got to keep things rolling along, man. It's not going to be the same without you by my side, but man, I'm going to give 140%. And do what we do best, man. Put the best show on the world on.
Hey, like I said, though, through the magic of the internet, my notes, I'm known behind the scenes for these notes that I put together, and they're going to be updating in real time. I'll just be, you know, sitting on a couch in Wisconsin updating them and not scratching on a piece of paper next to you.
Well, I appreciate all your hard work and what I see behind the scenes and what everybody else sees, and You're never short than perfect in my eyes, buddy. And I'm not just saying it. It's great to be friends with you over these years. And man, I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else behind the mic of our favorite sport. And it's going to be hard to go out there, but hey, man, we got to do it. And I know that AMSOIL Championship Off-Road is going to put on one hell of a show.
Yeah, you said it, man. And I appreciate the kind words. And by the way, don't worry, I'm not fired and I'm not quitting or anything. I'll be back for 2026. So that's enough self-indulgence on this podcast. It seems like the show has been about me personally a lot since leading up to Crandon. So I apologize for that, but bear with me. Pro opening ceremonies out there, 6 p.m. local time. That's Pacific time. Going to be a great show. You, Haley, Nolan on the call for that one. Racing under the lights, pro championships on the line. No better way to give us a great send-off at the end of the 2025 season of AMSOIL Championship Off-Road presented by Brunt.
Well, Shane, you said it perfect. I cannot wait to get out to Glen Helen, California. It is going to be over the top. Make sure you tune in to Flow. And man, oh man, I cannot wait. For Shane Stetsny, I'm Brent Smith. Thanks for watching the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSOIL.